Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I'm here with Hiske Wesse and Eric von Firth. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I work at a large mental health institution called GGZ Rivierduinen in Leiden in the Netherlands.
I'm glad you said that.
Yes.
Rather than me.
And I'm also a professor of eating disorders at the Department of Psychiatry at Leiden University Medical Center.
Great. And this workshop was really interesting. We've just had an hour and a half, about, I don't know, 30 people in the room. And we've been talking about... Was it more than 30? Okay, apologies. We were talking about lived experience.
Yeah.
And how you get it into eating disorder services, and how you kind of co-produce services, and the impact that has on services. And Hiske, this is one of your kind of, this is your role within the service. So tell us what you do, and explain a little bit about the impact that you think that has.
Well, I really try to integrate it into the treatment and not like besides it. And I think it really changed the language. Mm-hmm. Within the teams and stuff. So, and also that they have a more positive feeling with like recovery and that it's possible.
And you have four people with lived experience of eating disorders who work as part of your team, and you've done that for a few years now. Have you got a sense of how that kind of feels for patients when you work with them, having your own personal experience of their condition?
I think they are really positive about it, and they feel more understood and more like taken seriously. So, what it is to have an eating disorder and what it
the natural reliability of the people with a lived experience really adds to the treatment. They're like a new discipline. Like we have dietitians and psychotherapists and doctors, we also have people with lived experience as employee, and I think it works fantastically. I used to describe it as sort of the oil in the machinery, but I think that's not doing them justice anymore. It's more that they're one of the cogs within the machinery, and I'm really glad we started it. We've struggled for a very, very long time in getting this up and running, and we've come reasonably far, and it's not a panacea for everything. It's just one of the interventions we can provide for people with eating disorders.
Why has it taken so long? I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes 21 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And when I did, I said to my wife, the thing that I really want is to talk to other people who've got type 1 diabetes and who've been diagnosed in their late 20s. Why has it taken so long in mental health for us to understand that this is important?
Well, we have many countries that have patient organizations or family organizations who would organize these kinds of groups that you just described completely separately from mental health. And it's the new thing is the integration within existing mental health services. And the reason why it's been so separate is because it was vastly rejected by mental health professionals to include people with a lived experience. Many professionals and colleagues found it very threatening to include people with a lived experience within the teams. And that has taken us a very, very long time to overcome our our threats, so our anxiety about this.
And do you think that is because mental health professionals stigmatize mental health patients?
They do, most certainly, like everyone else. And there's just been a huge divide between those providing care and those receiving care without those providing care ever realizing that they too in their life will become a patient of some sort at some point in time, and that we're all exactly the same. It's just a matter of coincidence who's on which side of the table.
Tell me about it. So Hiske, tell me about how you have your relationships with the other professionals in the team. How did they receive you and your role when you first started working in this role?
Well, when I first started working, there was a lot of resistance. I had like colleagues that would like ask me, do I have to work with you or with like people with lived experience, or is it like an option? And they were really, really, really scared of what I would say to a patient when I was alone with the patient, and if I would say something bad that would make it even worse. So that was the the feeling of the people like where I work with. Yeah.
And Eric, in the UK and internationally, we have kind of peer support workers, which I guess is a kind of relevant role to what you're talking about here.
Yeah.
And you spoke a little bit in your presentation about the evidence or lack of it for peer support workers. There are some randomized trials. So do you think it's just that we are early on in the development of that and we haven't yet proven the effectiveness of that intervention? Or do you think it's because we're researching that intervention in a way which isn't appropriate?
I'm not sure how to answer the question. I mean, we could do an RCT and provide services with people with a lived experience and without, and randomize people over to services. But would that really be helpful? We've never done the same when it comes to a dietitian or other health professionals. We don't do it with psychologists or psychotherapists. We do it with a specific therapy. So I'm not sure if that's the way to go. And evidence-based is a much-abused term. So and most things we do in medicine are not evidence-based. Some, if not very few, are. We just try to provide good services. And indeed, there are other ways to investigate whether there's a good added effect of adding people with a lived experience to services.
How do you see this kind of work getting rolled out internationally?
I've claimed before that 80% of what we do as mental health professionals is not based on evidence, but is based on the health service system that we live in. And people don't realize that. If you work within a country, within a system, you just think that that's the way the world is, but it's not, of course. There are so many different countries, systems around the world. Adding individuals with lived experience as a new discipline to the treatment teams of eating disorders will differ greatly per country, and each country and system will need to figure out how to implement that. What are the enablers? What are the barriers financially, administratively, to add these people within their services? The only thing I know for sure is that this is unstoppable. This is the way forward, and this is going to happen, whether we like it or not. And of course, I like it, but it's it's going to happen. And that's one of the things we try to do, of course, in this workshop is get people to think about how would you implement this more in your own service system.
Yeah, it's a very sensible, pragmatic Dutch attitude. I like it a lot. So Hiske, I just wanted to finish by asking you, you've told us how professionally this has worked for you. How has it kind of worked in terms of your personal experience taking on this role and in terms of your health?
Well, I really love my job. It's really fulfilling, but it's also a job. So it's not something that I'm like, when I go home, I'm just like like everybody else, a mom and and a wife. So I think it's just the same as anyone else. But still, there are like people that they stick in my head. Of course, just the other week I had like a patient and she was saying goodbye and she was doing really well. And then a colleague of mine, she asked her, well, what did like change? What was very important for you, and she told us, well, at the first session Hiske was there, and well, I thought, well, if she could do it, I can do it. So I just gave the whole therapy just a chance, and well, it worked out. So that's really special. I didn't know that.
The true lived experience.
Yeah. So it's really funny, just me being there. So that's nice.
It's great work. Thank you very much for talking to me.